Well, everybody thought it was crazy when my great-grandfather, John Henry Murphy Sr., at the age of 52, in 1892, having been enslaved and with 10 children, decided to start a business called the Afro. In fact, the name was already in existence, and he bought the, ladies, you'll appreciate this, my great-grandmother was the venture capitalist. For $200, he bought the name and the printing press at an auction. Now, as I already said, they had 10 children. John and Martha had 10 children, 5 male children, 5 female children. The 5 males were expected to work the business. That was second generation. And if their sisters wanted to work, they could, but they had to get the same salary every week. You all like that arrangement? Some did and some didn't. That was the second generation. The third generation was my parents' generation, my mother's generation. My grandfather, much to his disappointment, had 5 daughters, no sons. That's another story. I'm not going to tell that on tonight. But everybody worked in the family business. First generation, second generation, third generation, and now here comes the fourth generation. So I told you great-grandfather Murphy had 10 children. So there are a lot of us in the fourth generation. My grandfather, who had the 5 daughters, had 16 of us. And we had this unwritten pact: no matter what you do, don't go to the family business. Because that's all they talk about. Every meal, it's about the family business. No matter what conversation you started, it ended up being about the family business. Every holiday was about the family business. And so while we got to meet some amazing people growing up in the family business, we worked there summers and, you know, holidays and things like that, but we had an unwritten pact. Well, my mother, as I said, her sisters, they all worked in the family business, and they were all journalism majors. In fact, the state of Maryland paid for them to go out of state because the University of Maryland would not admit black students. That's another story as well. And so my mother went to the University of Wisconsin to study journalism, where people wanted to touch her skin because they couldn't believe it was brown. But she said, one of you, one of us three, I want you to go to the University of Wisconsin. And my brother and I decided, because we were older, that it was going to be my sister. So when she was a little girl, we would say to her, her name was Susan, we'd say, Susan, guess where you're going to school when you grow up? And she would just look so innocently, and she'd say, where? And we'd say, you're going to the University of Wisconsin, just like Mom. And so you know she went to the University of Wisconsin. But if you really want a good laugh, she majored in journalism, married, went to Mississippi, had 5 children, and never worked a day in her life. So that was her story, right? But I really didn't want to go to the family business, as I said, neither did anybody, you know, no one in our generation. So we did other things. I trained to be a school teacher. Foreign languages, Baltimore City Public Schools, when it was junior high school. And so I didn't, but still on the weekends I would do that. And then my mother thought it was a good idea for the younger generation to be on the board, so they did a junior advisory board. I think they thought that after a while, somebody in this fourth generation is going to want to be at the family business. And so we did that, and so we kept up with the business, but we did everything but. But in 1995, I ended up going, you all know where, to the family business with another cousin in my generation. But here's the deal. He was going to be the person in charge, right? I was going to help him and then continue to do what I was doing. But by the time it was our turn to do that, that's another whole story, he decided to keep on practicing law and said, you go to the family business. So I went to the family business, stayed there for a little while, and then received my call to preach, and I left in 1999. I was content pastoring a church here in the city and not being in the family business. And then 2018 happened. Somebody say 2018. So family came to me and they said, you know, we really think you should come back to the family business. And I said, why do you think that should happen? And they said, well, we think the family business needs some skill set that you have. I said, well, I've not been there since 1999. So I went back to the family business. in 2018, and I found a very dedicated staff, some of whom, though, had not yet made the shift to where the business was going. Not that I knew a whole lot about it. I must admit I didn't know a whole lot about it. But what I did know was that technology was really in the forefront of what was happening in the media business, because we're not a newspaper, we're a media company. And so worked with the people who were there, retooled. Some of us had to retool. Some of us had to retire. Right? Some of us had to retire. And I could hear my grandfather saying, a newspaper succeeds because it believes first in God, then in itself, and then in the present generation. I said, I better get some present generation folk in here, right? And then COVID happened. But I had been talking with my son, who's the next generation, who said he's not coming to the family business. I'll let you in on a secret. He is coming to the family business. And he took us out of the closet and into the cloud right before we went home. And so we all of our operations transitioned. We were able to attract some very, very talented young people, some of whom are here today. They weren't there then, but they're there now. In fact, more than a third of our staff are millennials, and I just act like I know what to do, and Gen Zers. COVID came, and then unfortunately George Floyd came, but that was actually good for our business in a sad way, but it was good for our business. We retooled. We went to every lab we could go to. I know all this stuff about SEO and about, ChatGPT, and I know about it, but I make sure that the other people do it, but I know about it. And so I know about it. I use my teaching skills and my coaching skills and my encouraging skills and my preaching skills, and all of that to say, use what you have, use what's in your hands. What you don't have to know everything, and I don't know everything about the business, but what I do know is that the Afro is Maryland's oldest black-owned business. I know that content matters. I know that news about our community matters to both the black community and the white community, the Latino community, all people. I know that that's important for us to do. And I know that if it had not been for my great-grandfather's voice in my head saying that you succeed because you believe first in God, then in yourself, and then in the present generation, we wouldn't be here today. So thank you for listening to my story. I came in the door and somebody said to me, you'll always be selling. I said, yep, so we have Afros for you tonight. But they're free. And go to afro.com. Take care.